Good morning to everybody. Welcome to worship on this third Sunday in March and the fifth Sunday in Lent. And happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I see a little bit of green out there. Yeah, the Irish blood coursing through my veins this morning is excited and happy to know that it's March and that spring is on its way. And I'm hoping those little leprechauns will show up at my house and get my garden ready. And it's good to see some of you here that have not been here, so we welcome you all. You know, I feel so very blessed that I'm just able to see the spring flowers once again, and they are starting to bloom abundantly. And I hope you're all enjoying March Madness as it progresses. And no. Well, I hope you men had a good breakfast. Yes, I hope the men had a good breakfast and had a productive meeting. And the work team is off to Tennessee this weekend. Some have left already, some still to go. This week, let's keep the work team in our prayers for their safety and a very productive week of helping others. And, you know, unfortunately, there were tornadoes that went through Indiana and Ohio and other states late this past week, causing damage. And our church is really blessed that we can offer help to others in rebuilding their homes and their lives, a vital part of our mission work. Now, for announcements, they're on the back of your bulletin. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, with the beginning of Holy Week and its events. On the 27th is our, the 28th, Thursday, is our Maundy Thursday service at 6 p.m. And it is a Seder meal, and it is really not a meal, but the symbolic offering of the items that Jesus and his disciples had at their Last Supper together. Then on Friday, the 29th, is a Good Friday service, which starts with carrying the cross from Rommel Park at 6:30 to the church, with the service starting at 7 p.m. So are there any other announcements? If not, we'll just start our worship with our invitation to worship. Why are you here?
I am seeking God with my whole heart, with my entire mind, with the fire burning in my bones.
I see it. You're in the right place. This is God's house. The door is open to you.
Why are you here?
I am seeking God with my whole heart, with my entire mind, with a fire burning in my bones.
We see that in you. We're in the right place. This is God's house. The door is open to you.
Let us worship God.
Let us learn from the Spirit.
Now let's pray together our unison prayer. Teaching God, we want to learn your ways. We want to learn the ways of forgiveness. We want to learn the ways of grace. We want to learn your ways of love. That is part of why we return to your text week after week, because we are hungry to be more like you. So as we prepare to listen to your good word, calm the noise in our minds. Center our spirits to focus on you so that we might learn and hear what you have missed in this story before. God, we want to learn your ways. Meet us here. Speak your truth. Help us listen. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer, please? Merciful God, you have filled our lives with a deluge of love and grace, yet we are too often stingy with forgiveness for others. While Christ's sacrifice on the cross removed the weight of our sin, we continue to blend in with a world that is intent on keeping score and settling debts. May the gifts we give this morning, small in comparison with all we've received, help strengthen the church's ministry of love and compassion. In our giving, may we make a witness as those who have been forgiven much and who seek to have Christ-like grace shine through our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen. This morning is Matthew 18, 15 through 22. And I'm going to read this once more because I think Roberta's voice is on the mend pretty well. And so she's going to be ready for next week. Matthew 18, 15, 22. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and correct them when you are alone together. If they listen to you, then you've won over your brother or sister. But if they won't listen, take with you one or two others, so that every word may be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if they still won't pay attention, report it to the church. If they won't pay attention even to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and tax collector. I assure you that whatever you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then my Father who is in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I forgive as many as seven times? Jesus said, not just seven times, but rather as many as 77 times. This is the word of God for the people of God.
All right. Have you ever had to repair or restore something, fix something, bring it back to life, so to speak? I remember repairing a really old milk sled that we had found. I believe it was in a shed that we were cleaning out, and my husband looked at me and he said, oh, just throw that old thing out. And I said, well, I'm not going to throw it out. I think there's potential in it, and I think it can be restored. And he said, what are you going to do with it? Well, I don't know. Let me see if it can be restored first. So I had no clue what I was going to do with that thing, but I spent some time scrubbing on it and cleaning and then doing a little bit of light sanding. Then eventually oiled it, and it all came clean, and it turned out absolutely beautiful by the time it was finished. And so now it sits in my living room as a coffee table. Not as high as one should be, but it still is there. And I'm glad that I spent the time that it took to restore it, because it was worth the time and the effort that I spent. In a nutshell, today's text is really about relationships, building, repairing, and restoring our relationships to the way that they should be. At times, we all have instances in which we will find ourselves in a disagreement with someone. Anybody want to argue with that? Didn't think so. And at other times, you know, we find our feelings are hurt. Maybe we're offended. Maybe things aren't going quite the way we'd like, or we don't quite get our way about something. I mean, you can spin any tale you want to with this. And often the result of those instances are relationships which become broken, frayed, and unfortunately often never repaired or reconciled or restored. This happens in so many settings. It can happen at work, it happens in marriages, it happens in friendships and families and schools and workplaces, and oh my goodness, even the church. And it happens because, first of all, we're human beings. And so we sometimes say things or do things or have preferences and those kind of things that stand in the way of our relationships. And as the Bible says, we do these things because, well, we sin against each other. And it's intentional or non-intentional. It is human nature. We are sinners every single day, whether we like that or we don't. So from time to time, we're going to get into each other's way, no matter what relationship it is. And so when we find ourselves in those sharp disagreements with one another or even a group of people, that question becomes, how do we maintain and open up the lines of communication in such a way that we promote unity and healing and wholeness? How do we reconnect in ways that foster a healthier relationship, create a framework for boundaries and resolving our differences in ways that are meaningful to one another? Because the truth is, the worst thing that we can do in any relationship, including our churches, is to ignore, disregard, or dismiss a problem and hope that it all goes away. Because it's more than likely that it won't go away just by ignoring it. Unresolved differences then usually tend to be like a merry-go-round. If we don't address them, they just keep circling and back until they finally pick up speed, and then they spin and they spin and spin until they have to come to a screeching halt of some kind. Jesus' teaching today is part of this larger teaching on how do you live in the kingdom of God. And Jesus knows from time to time, believers are going to face and become entangled in a disagreement, and they'll need to address it. Now, this text is primarily written to believers. However, it can apply to anyone. So Jesus stresses that our relationships, number one, they're important. They're important enough that he takes time to teach on this. And at times he recognizes, you know what? There's going to be problems and they're going to need to be repaired. After all, if you think about it, Jesus died that we might be restored to a right relationship with God. Jesus died that our relationship with God could be repaired and reconciled. So Jesus is teaching the disciples, thereby you and I, how to live together in such a way that we can resolve our differences and live together peacefully, create a sense of harmony, unity among one another. And I think that that is something that just about everybody wants. I don't think most people like to live in tense relationships. And as someone said to me last week, I don't remember who it was, but somebody, they said to me, you know, it seems like everybody is just so angry. And in this time and place, I think they could have a point, because relationships today are tense and they're testy. It just seems a part of our culture and climate that we live in. And so let me just say, my own experience has been that when we apply this process that Jesus teaches in today's text, I've found it to be pretty effective in my personal relationships and in many different settings, including the local church. Now, in fact, the United Methodist Church is so fond of Jesus' Communications 101 course that they teach this text to pastors and to every SBRC committee. And the expectation is that we will embrace the process when confronted with disagreement and discord. Now, this may be news to you, but sometimes congregations find themselves in disagreement with each other or at odds with the pastor, and yes, even amongst one another. Now, if you don't believe me, just get the building committee together and decide to change the color of the carpet in the sanctuary. And there will be arguments over whether it's going to be red or blue or green or tan. It's just normal. We won't all agree on the color. And I know that that, you know, likely never happened here, but if you're married, you've probably never had a disagreement with your spouse, because y'all are better at things than I am. And as parents, you probably never tangled with your teenager, because, you know, I just wasn't real good at that all the time. And your kids never argued, nor have you ever been at odds with a friend. So this is just in case any of that ever happens. The truth is, even the disciples argued, and you can look that up. So how do we communicate when difficulties arise? Someone sinned against us, offended us, isn't meeting my expectations, has hurt or offended me. And I think before we even get to that, you know, step one that Jesus is talking about, there's this underlying assumption that we're going to do some personal introspection and recognize, you know what, not every issue's got to be addressed. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, is this really an issue for me or just a personal preference? Is this something I could let go? Does it make any difference in the grand scheme of things? If the answer is it's a personal preference, I can let it go, it's going to make no big deal in the grand scheme of things, then I think you need to kind of like take a lesson from the movie Frozen and practice singing that song, Let It Go. Just let it go. Recognize that not everything has to be addressed and not everything deserves a hearing. As a snippet on Facebook once said, you do not have to attend every argument you are invited to. The truth is, sometimes a person will invite you into an argument that isn't even yours, and you don't have to make it yours. However, if you just can't let it go, then take a lesson from Jesus. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell them, work it out between the two of you. Notice Jesus says, work it out between the two of you. Go and talk to them one-on-one. Jesus doesn't say ignore the problem, ask someone to go in your place, expect someone else to deal with it, hope it goes away, internalize it, yell and scream and holler until someone takes up your cause, or write an anonymous note. Jesus says don't do those things that we're tempted to do because it seems easier than to deal with that issue head on. Go and talk to that person one-on-one. How many of you have a problem doing that? Because sometimes, you know, it's really hard when we're frustrated to go say to that person, can we talk? What we tend to like to do is go to our neighbor or our friend and say, you know, they made me so mad. And guess what? That person that you're talking about has got no idea that you're even mad. And so guess what? Your problem's not going to get resolved, or you're going to bring somebody else into the argument. Everybody's going to go away mad. So go tell them, I'm hurt. Share what you're feeling. Share what you want or what you need. You know, we do this with spouses. We get mad because we don't get what we want, but we never told them what we wanted. And we never told them what we needed. And then Jesus says, make sure you do that when you're alone. So you don't do it, you know, in the middle of a meeting. You go someplace where you're alone. You don't go to Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter and share it with your neighbor. Just imagine what could happen if we all started our disagreements with that first step. Do you think it'd make a difference in our relationships? Because Jesus says if we do this, guess what? We might make a friend. Now, who doesn't want another friend? And I can't stress how important that is. I've been in this situation before, and likely so have you. Somebody will come to me with an issue about another person, and the first thing they'll say is, now, I don't want you to tell them that I told you, but you need to go talk to them, but I can't tell you who it is. Are you kidding me? So my first question is always, well, have you talked to them? Well, no, I don't want to do that. Well, then I can't help you. You need to go talk to that person first. So I send them back. On the other hand, I've also had people who have come to me and said, somebody wants thus and such and doesn't like this and yada, 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 was offended, but they don't want to tell me who I can go talk to. Well, if I don't know who the person is, I can't resolve the issue. And not only that, it robs me of the opportunity to have a great conversation with somebody. Do you know what just happened, though, if you take on their cause and become the go-between? You just accepted their invitation to take up their argument. So when someone does that, we need to recognize, when I take up another person's agenda or their argument, there's no way for the person in question to have an opportunity to repair the relationship, address the issue, because they can't go talk to that person. Then there's always anonymous. I love anonymous. Don't you love anonymous? Can't tell who it is. Or you get this anonymous note. I love anonymous notes because you know what I do with those anonymous notes? I look for a signature. And if there's no signature, I read no farther. It goes in the trash. Why? Number one, because it's anonymous. But number two, here's the other thing. I'm going to spend all my time wondering who wrote it. And I'm going to be trying to figure out who wrote it. So if it's not important enough to sign a name to, then it's probably not that big of a deal, and I don't pay attention to it. You might do differently. That's just me. Because if someone has a disagreement with me, then they need to come and talk to me. More importantly, what I find is that when a person comes to me directly, the issue is often resolved. We develop a respect for one another, and both parties feel heard. Sometimes I learn something about myself that I wasn't even aware of, or I see a new perspective that I never thought of. On the other hand, Jesus recognizes that sometimes, you know, we can sit down with a person and we can go directly to them and the problem still isn't resolved and we just can't live with the response that we got. So Jesus says, in that case, if they won't listen, meaning if you still don't feel heard or you get a satisfactory or don't get a satisfactory response, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will what? Keep things honest. And try again. Jesus doesn't say if you still don't go your way, because today's text isn't about getting our way. It's about resolving our issues, building relationships, and being restored to a loving relationship. So Jesus is saying, if you still don't feel heard or affirmed, if sharing doesn't work, ask another person to go along, because another person might be able to help. Again, this isn't the first step, but it's an important next step to take when things arise. Ask for help. Don't enlist someone to go in your place. Ask somebody else to go with you. You know, I don't know that person very well, or this situation is just so intense. I don't want to tell you all the details, but would you come along and just be a support and listen? Keep looking, Jesus says, for ways to resolve a situation and reconcile with one another, to experience that healing and wholeness and bring peace and unity to a situation. So if we can't do it ourselves, then don't be afraid to reach out to someone for help. Jesus knows that an advocate or another witness can sometimes bring clarity to a situation for both parties, offer another point of view, point out other possibilities that maybe the two parties together just can't quite see. So this could be a friend or maybe a staff member or coworker, a coach. If it's a pastor, it might be a member of your staff parish team. Whatever you do, don't do nothing. Walk away mad, leave the situation unresolved, go away saying, well, I tried, nobody listened, tell the world and blow up Facebook. You ever see that? People have arguments on Facebook. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? But no, they argue on Facebook. Now, I know sometimes we're timid and a one-on-one conversation is scary, and so I'm okay if somebody wants to bring somebody else with them. I get that. I'd rather have that than to have no conversation at all. However, if you bring a posse with you, I'm probably going to say something like, could you pick out the one or two that you think might best assist you in this situation? And hopefully, we are reconciled at that stage. And then Jesus says, but you know, sometimes that just doesn't work. Sometimes two people get so fixed on their stance that agreement can't be found even when a couple of others have tried. And so at that point, well, tell it to the church. Now, in the United Methodist Church, we tell it to the staff parish committee. Sandy, you're a member of that committee. So, you know, we tell it to the committee. And hopefully, with that, things can be resolved. Our conference website, by the way, has all kinds of information on how to resolve conflict and how to have those discussions. And I have found that that information is really helpful in some personal kind of relationships. If you're an organization, it's likely that your organization offers resources. If it's a family, sometimes, you know, family counseling can always be helpful. Or maybe it's with your friend group. However, Jesus knows that there are times when we might have to recognize that after we've tried all of that, it's still just not working out for us. And in those cases, Jesus says, go blow up Facebook. No, Jesus doesn't say, go blow up Facebook. Jesus says, in those cases, we are better off remembering whose we are, our mission, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, let go of our anger and disappointment, and move on with the ministry of the church. If you're a family, move on with loving each other. Move on with being about what your family needs. Be on about the mission of your organization. Because after this step of restoration isn't possible, Jesus makes this really interesting comment. And in the Common English Bible, Jesus teaches us that if it doesn't work, then treat them, and this is the part we all love, treat them as you would a Gentile or tax collector, because most of us interpret that to mean we can just send them away. But guess what? Jesus isn't saying go shun them, throw them out, stir the pot of confusion, gossip, and go make things worse. Jesus says, treat them as tax collectors and Gentiles. And then, how did Jesus treat tax collectors and Gentiles? He loved them. In fact, while Jesus never ignored wrongdoing, Jesus was known to hang out with sinners. He spent a good deal of time with the Gentiles. And Matthew, the writer of this gospel text, he was a former tax collector. Can you imagine that? Jesus let a tax collector write a gospel. Folks, when we can't reconcile with one another, Jesus encourages us to treat that person as he would. Continue to encourage and love them. Be an example of love. He's not telling us to reject those that we disagree with. In fact, I kind of think he's even asking us to spend maybe even more time and energy on reconciliation. Befriending that person with whom we disagree, working toward a right relationship and restoration, and sometimes that requires, oh my goodness, that we allow God to work on our own hearts, and we ask God to help us remove the stones that are keeping us from being the person who keeps reaching out. So in the words of the Message translation, Jesus says, if you won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch, confront him again, and offer again God's forgiving love. And Peter says, seriously? Really? How many times must I do this? How long, oh Lord, how long? Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I do that as many as seven times? I mean, seven sounds reasonable, don't you think? And Jesus says, not just seven times, but rather as many as 77 times. That's a lot. It is a lot. However, Jesus' statement isn't about mathematics. We like to make this a math problem a lot of times and start, you know, you see people start multiplying, it's not a math problem. The statement points us to the abundance of grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers us when we sin against another. You know, sometimes it helps to stop and to remember how many times Jesus has forgiven us. Stops to help and remember, Jesus died because I do wrong things. Jesus died because I sin. And if Jesus can die for my sins, maybe I can find a way to forgive another. Dr. Terence Lester calls this the mathematics of ambiguous grace. I know forgiveness is a hard topic for us to define. And if I had to sum it up, I guess I'd say forgiveness is that ability to wish another well despite our differences and offering endless and abundant grace. Now I want to say, there are times when people are in abusive situations and those kinds of situations where we may have to offer that grace at a distance. So today's sermon is not about situations where you are in harm or going to put yourself in real harm. It is about normal relationships. And I'm commenting on these verses. I love what Dr. Lester notes. He says, you know, Peter learns about abundant grace. It's about letting go of rigid limits and embracing limited possibilities of forgiveness and repairs. Jesus' teaching reminds us of the power of forgiveness to make a community whole. Peter's encounter with Jesus serves as a poignant reminder of the profound lessons embedded in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a wellspring of boundless grace. So here's the promise of today's gospel. When we seek to resolve our differences in this way, when we pay attention to Jesus' Communications 101 course, Jesus promises to be with us, promises to be present in the process of seeking resolution, restoration, and reconciliation. And if we reach an agreement, and when we do, if we have truly done it by inviting God to the table, God will honor the solution that we reach, because we've actively sought God's will in that situation. So I don't know, maybe you're at a place today, you have a relationship that's just not working out very well, and maybe you just need to go talk to them. Whatever you do this week, if there is someone you need to be reconciled with, go seek reconciliation. And leave here knowing today that whoever you are, no matter what you have done, you, because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, are reconciled to God. So as you go from here, be reconciled to each other, be reconciled to God, and be reconciled to community.